good morning. And also a Merry Christmas week to you. We're so happy that you're here with Old Lion, Young Lion. And you may be asking yourself immediately, as do all the listeners that have ever listened to our show, they've asked, why do you call yourselves Old Lion, Young Lion? And I think, wow, what a great question. Let me answer that question for you. Here's the answer. Samuel Hazelton, Old Lion, Anthony Stafford, Young Lion, we believe that the Bible teaches very clearly that the righteous are bold as lions. We also believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And it is our intention and our responsibility and our job on this show, Old Lion, Young Lion, to discover the truth of God's word and then to declare it boldly as lions. And we intend to do so today. We're so happy that you're here with us. We hope that your year is wrapping up great. We're excited for season two of Old Lion, Young Lion to be reaching its halfway point. We're excited for what the Lord is going to continue to bring in 2025. Now, we're both pastors. Sam and I are both pastors of a local Baptist church, Electric City Baptist Church in Schenectady, New York. And we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We'd love for you guys, anyone that's in the area, to come and visit us, worship the King of Kings, hear the Word of God preached, and gather with fellow believers. And we've also been doing this show now for a little over a year, and the Lord has really moved us in places that we didn't know were going to happen, and we've been able to speak to people we didn't know we were going to be able to speak to, and we hope that you'll be able to join this journey for us. Now, we do have a sponsor of today's episode, and I want to give a great shout out to all of our friends over at Camp Pattersonville, the children's camp. They have summer camp every year, sleepaway camp, low-tech camp with a heart for God. And so I'm excited. My kids are going to go there this summer. You should look it up. Maybe your kids might want to spend some time there. They honor God there. And we thank you for your sponsorship today of today's episode. So we have a little bit of a tradition here on this show, and what we do at the beginning of every show is we make sure that we start it off with a word of prayer. And so I'm going to ask Old Lion Sam Hazelton to start our show off with a word of prayer, and then I'll get into a couple more details.
Father, we are here today on the cusp of another Christmas, Lord, and we are part of this celebration. Everybody knows that Christmas celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most significant person who's ever walked the planet. Father, I ask you today, as we talk about Christmas, as we consider the hand of God in history, Father, that you'd anoint our lips. Father, that you'd give understanding to everyone within the sound of our voice. I pray for the scripture that we're going to be reading today, Father, that it would find its mark in the hearts of our listeners. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over anyone that's listening to the show today. We don't know exactly what you're walking through or maybe some things that you've been through this year. But what we do know is that God has a plan for your life, and he wants you to take the next step closer to him. And he is someone who understands every single thing that you've been through, every hard week that you've had, every hard month that you had, all the trials and all the triumphs. The Bible says that Jesus knows about every single thing that you've walked through. So I want to get into a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, but we want to make sure that you know that Old Lion, Young Lion is now streaming on every podcast website as well as YouTube. And we also are going to be on regularly on the radio. And if you want to get a question or a comment onto the show, you can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. And we'd love to interact with you, and we'd love for you to possibly get your subject or your topic or your comment on the show. So Sam, what I'd like you to do is maybe you can give us an idea of where we've been a little bit even this year, where we've been recently, where we're going to be at a little bit today, and what you kind of see for what we got going on in the future.
This is kind of a jump from last week. We got into judgment. And last week we talked about the judgment of those who are believers in Christ Jesus. This is the being rewarded for their works. And then we talked about the judgment for the unbelievers, which is being judged and condemned for their sins. And we encouraged people, become a believer on this side of the judgment, because you do not want to be part of that great white throne judgment. You want to be part of the believer's judgment before the Bema seat of Christ. That was last week. This week It's Christmas time. We're going to cover some Christmas themes, and we're going to get into some prophecy that you probably haven't considered as being prophetic.
Excited about that.
About Christmas.
Yeah, I love that. I think that there's a lot of things about Christmas that people are already aware of. You may even have a favorite Christmas tradition, and you're not even kind of sure where that started. And I know that I have been a part of many great traditions. My parents were big into stockings, and so we would always run down the stairs or run out of our bedrooms in the morning and see what mom and dad has put in our stocking for that year. And that's been a major part of me growing up. I also do that with my kids, and Christmas has kind of taken a little bit off the track. It's went off the rails a little bit about how the world thinks about it. It's kind of turned into an idea of people that have kind of racked up maybe a little bit too much debt so they can bring maybe an hour or so of joy or happiness into their life. And its intention, maybe at the early parts of what Christmas is supposed to be, has kind of moved its way into a thing that maybe parents or even grandparents don't even like anymore. This idea of commercialism, or how much can I spend, or who's going to die with the most toys in the driveway. This has kind of overtaken Christmas a little bit, but Sam, we know that from the beginning this was not so. And Jesus speaks this way all the time about many things that the people of the world have kind of gotten off track. He'll even say, yeah, God made him man and woman at the beginning. It was not so this way where you can go and marry many people, or you can go and marry different genders of people. Jesus would come and say, no, in the beginning it was not so. Similarly, Christmas has taken on a life of its own, and the way that it's supposed to be celebrated and the things we're supposed to celebrate during Christmas at the beginning, now they are not what they were. So we want to give you some perspectives about it. But Sam, why don't you talk a little bit about the way that Christmas has kind of evolved, or maybe some things we do know that we're familiar about the Christmas story. Talk a little bit about Christmas in general and maybe what it kind of is trying to be, and maybe some ways that it's an error.
Most people are familiar with a lot of the elements of the Christmas story. We're familiar about Joseph and Mary being ordered by the emperor of Rome, Caesar Augustus, to go to the town of their ancestral birth, which was Bethlehem. And they went down there. Mary is 9 months pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ, the only child who's ever been born of a virgin. And so they go down there. We know the story. There's no room at the inn because Jerusalem is flooded with people, because presumably it was during a time which was a Jewish holiday. And so these inns were full. Our Lord Jesus is born in an animal stable, and the King of the universe came in these humble circumstances. And we've seen some Christmas cards. You've probably gotten the Christmas cards. We know the Isaiah 9:6 verse that says, unto us a child is born, right. Unto us a son is given. So there are very many prophecies in your Old Testament, in your Bible, that pointed to this moment in time. But today, we're going to kind of cover some prophetic elements that maybe you haven't considered that surround this Christmas story.
Right. And you can study the Bible from beginning to end. And a famous preacher, one of my favorite preachers ever, he speaks of the Bible in terms that are very understandable. He says, the Bible is shallow enough for the baby to swim in, and it's deep enough for the greatest diver to get lost in. It's one of the greatest books that you'll ever come across. And what you won't find in it, from Genesis to Revelation, is something about a reindeer with a red nose. What you won't find in it is something about a 400-pound man in a red suit that somehow sneaks into your house and steals all your cookies. This is not in the Bible anywhere, though there's great times for having enjoyable, fun seasons in your community, for spending time with your family, for having kind of folklore about tales of fun and enjoyment. Those things are fine for their place. But this is not a Bible idea. These ideas of what we do Christmas like today is not really based on what the Bible teaches. What you really should do is find some time this Christmas and say, I'd like to get back to the Luke chapter number 2. I'd like to get back to some of the wholesome things that the Bible teaches about bringing joy to people and celebrating Jesus. Now, I'm not going to stand here and preach for an entire episode about Jesus being the reason for the season, but Jesus is the reason for the season. So, Sam, take us back in time. I want you to take us back thousands of years to the beginning, kind of the door just creaking open to the prophecies that are going to start to project towards what the actual Christmas, the birth of Christ, really is and was told about and was prophesied about long before he came out. Where would we look in the Bible to kind of kick this process off?
So if we hit rewind and go all the way back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden, on that very day when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God made a prophecy talking about this seed of the woman that would come and crush the head of the serpent. That was the very first Christmas prophecy in Genesis 3:15. Okay. But we're going to go not so far back, but we're going to go back to the time of Moses.
Okay.
And this is 1500 BC. And we're going to be looking in Numbers chapter 24 in verse 17, where it says this. This is Balaam, who was a Gentile. He was not a Jewish man, but he was a prophet of his day. And you'll be surprised how much of Balaam's prophecy is found in your Old Testament. But here in Numbers chapter 24, 17, he says this, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." And so we have kind of this cloudy, foggy, misty prophecy from 1500 years before the time of Christ that says there's going to be a star coming out of Jacob. Jacob is just another name for Israel.
And this is a great little tidbit that you might have start to already recognize this idea of star immediately in the Christmas time. You're thinking this star of Bethlehem. You're thinking about this star that already is kind of, okay, so there's this prophecy in Numbers, and we hear about this prophet that's going to tell us that he's not here now. It's not even near, but in a long time, there's going to be a king with a scepter that's showing up, and a star is going to be associated with him. And then we find this show up in the story. So, Sam, before we even dig a little bit into that prophecy, I want you to kind of give us a way by which maybe we can measure the timeline of the world and the kingdoms and the kings. Talk a little bit about some prophecy that we can align with Numbers from another Old Testament prophecy that we can kind of connect together to kind of see what's coming and how this prophecy starts to become fulfilled.
So there's a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Daniel.
Okay.
And many of you may have heard of him as Daniel in the lion's den.
Right.
This is a famous prophet of Israel who lived in about 600 BC in that neck of the woods. At this time in history, the nation of Babylon had just risen to power. They had just defeated Assyria, which was a big clash between titans, if you will, between Babylon and Assyria. And Babylon came to power at that time. And Babylon came to Jerusalem, conquered Jerusalem, and took Daniel, his family, and all the nobles, all the craftsmen, all the princes of Judah and Israel, and they took them captive to Babylon. Daniel was there with his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here they were in Babylon being educated in the schools of the Babylonians, and all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he doesn't know what it means. He dreams about this statue with a head of gold and chest of silver and belly and thighs of bronze and legs of iron and feet partly of iron, partly of clay, and a stone that came out, cut out of a mountain that came and destroyed this statue and caused it all to blow away in the wind. He dreams this dream and he doesn't know what it means. And so he calls all his wise men, these astrologers. He's calling the enchanter. He's calling all these wise men of Babylon to come and tell him what this dream means. And they said, okay, great, we will. Just tell us what you dreamed. And he's like, no. I want you to tell me what I dreamed. If you guys are for real, if you're not just fakers, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and what it means. And they're like, nobody can do that. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to kill you all. So Daniel, who now has just graduated college, he's just got his cap and gown, and he's sitting in his room with his friends, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. The captain of the guard of Nebuchadnezzar comes to kill them along with all the wise men. And they're like, what's going on, sir? And he told him the story, and Daniel hadn't heard this before. He said, well, do this for me. Make an appointment with the king. I'm ready. God will interpret this dream. Daniel didn't know what the dream was. Daniel didn't know what it meant, but he, in faith, took this step and said, hey, set the appointment with me. He and his friends go back. They're pouring their hearts out to God. God, in the middle of the night, reveals this dream to Daniel, shows him exactly what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed, and shows him exactly what it meant.
And this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interprets ends up being a timeline, a prophetic timeline of the entire world and where the world was then, where the world is going to come to be. And we kind of combine that with this obscure prophecy from Numbers that tells us that this scepter of Israel is going to come and he's going to be associated with this star. So Daniel knows this prophecy from the book of Numbers, but he's underneath this other king. So Daniel's like, there's no scepter in Israel. I'm a slave here in this place. And now I'm being told that I have to interpret this dream of the king. So Daniel begins to interpret this dream of the king, and he reveals the timelines from Daniel's life all the way through, and get this, all the way through the very end of the world. Mm. And so, Sam, take us through Daniel's interpretation of these kingdoms quickly, yep, and then show kind of maybe where we're at and how Daniel uses that to show when this prophecy from Numbers is going to be wrapped up into this Christmas story.
So Daniel tells the king, he says, hey, in your dream, you saw this statue, and he explains to him, you are the head of gold, O king.
Okay.
And then after you will arise an empire, the chest and arms of silver, which will be the Medes and the Persians.
Okay.
After them will arise these belly and thighs of bronze, represents the Greek Empire, Alexander the Great, 323 BC, who conquered with a very small army, conquered the entire world, destroyed Darius, the Persian king. And then after the Greeks arise the Romans, and they are the legs of iron with the strength that they had. And in around 50 BC, with Julius Caesar, Caesar Augustus coming in here and establishing the Roman dominance over the world. And so this is bringing us up right up to the time of Jesus.
We love the story and the great passages of scripture that point to the Christmas story and the birth of Christ, but what we actually have is the book of Daniel being this key book that actually ends up being a quote-unquote Christmas book. Daniel, here we're going to give you another connection that you've never heard of before. Daniel gives the timeline of when Jesus is going to show up. He knows the prophecy from the book of Numbers about this king that's coming from Israel that is going to be also associated with a star, but then get this, Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel was this young man, Nebuchadnezzar calls Daniel and says, I'm glad that you were able to do this. I'm going to put you in charge of all of the wise men, including the astrologers. And then here's what he puts him in charge of, including the magi. If you've ever heard of this term magi, or how about the three wise men? Daniel ends up being not only the one that interprets this great prophecy of all of the time of the world, but he gets put in charge of what we find out in the New Testament book of Matthew as the wise men that traveled from the east. So Daniel becomes this guy who exchanges knowledge with the wisest guys in the world. He tells them the prophecy, likely tells them the prophecy from Numbers, and they share with him all this stuff that they've been deciphering from the stars. So Daniel now is directly connected as the leader of the Magi. So Sam, tell us how this story kind of unravels, how the Magi come into play, what were they doing, and how does this now connect to Luke chapter number 2 and Matthew chapter number 2 and these stories of Jesus actually being born? How is Daniel now, the book of Daniel, a Christmas story?
So now time passes, and everything that Daniel predicted from Nebuchadnezzar's dream has come to pass. In 536 BC, Cyrus the Persian came and conquered the Babylonians. 323 BC, Alexander the Great comes and conquers the Persians. And now in 50 BC, we have the Roman Empire comes to world dominance. And so now everything has happened according to what Daniel had said. And in fact, Daniel had another prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24, where he says there's going to be 69 weeks of years. So a week is seven. So there'll be 69 periods of 7 years. It's 483 years for those of you who don't have a calculator handy. And he said there would be 483 prophetic years between the time where the order was issued for the wall of Jerusalem to be rebuilt, which happened in history in 445 BC. There would be 483 prophetic years until the moment that the Messiah was cut off or killed. And so if you were a student of scripture, like these magi who were under Daniel were, like many of the characters that you see in the Gospel of Luke, students of Scripture, they're seeing that, hey, the time has come. The time is at hand. And so they're starting to pay attention. So here, now you have these magi in Babylon. Jesus is just about to be born. These guys are 600 miles away. They see the sign of his star.
They see the star.
And so they get on their camels. They pack up their stuff. We're going to worship this one who has been born King of the Jews. We're going to worship him. This is the Son of God that Daniel had so long earlier prophesied. And so they're on their way.
So these three wise men show up to this little town, oh, little town of Bethlehem,
yeah,
which you may have heard. And they have this direct connection to the prophetic nature of what Daniel said hundreds and hundreds of years before. And now we have these major players in this Christmas story. And what were they? These guys, they're locked into what the Bible said. They're locked into reading what the stars said about what this Messiah that was going to be born. And as we're reading through the New Testament and we see these three wise men make it to Jesus, they come and worship him because they know that this scepter is going to rise out of Israel. They knew what was told in Numbers, in the book of Numbers, chapter number 24. They knew the prophecies that Daniel told them. They knew the prophecies about Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. They also knew what the stars told about Jesus, and then they show up with gifts to worship this newborn king. But we get introduced to these new characters. We get introduced to Simeon and Anna. And these characters in the Bible says that they're following and being led of the Holy Spirit. If we know anything, if you followed our show about anything, you know that people who follow and are led by the Holy Spirit are people of the book. People of the Bible, people that love God's word and studies God's word. So Anna and Simeon are studying God's word, and wouldn't you know that they also recognize that the very prophecy that these three wise men were studying from the book of Daniel and the book of Numbers, they also were locked in on the very same thing. So we actually are building this new prophetic unseen hand of God working through the entire scheme of history to bring you one final question. And we can talk about this a little bit, and Sam, maybe give your last piece about this. But here's the final question. All the people throughout history that weren't carried away by the vanity of toys that will fade and grass that will burn and food that will be eaten and wine that will be drank, all the people that were locked into what's happening are connected to God's word. The Magi, the prophet Daniel, Moses, Balaam, Anna, all of these people are connected and they know what's happening. But the timeline from Daniel's prophecy, it's not over yet. There's still something to come after Jesus being born. So Sam, give us an idea about how we should look at the book, how we should look at the prophecies that are being told, and how we should be not with our head in the sand, not with our head in the clouds, but our head in the game. Give us a little breakdown.
Right. So first of all, I want to mention these magi from Babylon who came to the east, saw the star of Jesus. These guys were so far more sophisticated in reading the heavens. And so this is a science called astrology. And now astrology has kind of two meanings in our day and age.
Right.
Some people think of the horoscope and you can kind of figure out, are you going to have a good day or a bad day based on your horoscope? That's nonsense. That's
gibberish.
Yeah, that's the occult, right?
It's the occult.
That is not something that the Bible recommends. However, you have to understand this about astrology. The story of Earth is written by God in the heavens.
That's good.
And so these men who were astrologers were looking to the heavens. They were seeing the movement of the constellations. They were understanding the signs of the times. After all, when the world was created, God created the world. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars to be for signs, to be for times and seasons. And so these men were looking closely to what God had done. And if you read in Revelation chapter 12, and we're not going to get into it today, however, in Revelation chapter 12, you see a kind of an apocalyptic prophetic utterance that's in Revelation chapter 12 that talks about a great sign appearing in heaven and a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant, was crying out in birth pains. What I'm here to say to you is this sign in heaven actually happened in the stars.
Right.
you can go back to this moment of the birth of Christ, and they have these little things where they can actually follow the chart of the track of the stars throughout history, and you go back to 1 BC or whenever it was, and now all of a sudden you're seeing these things that Revelation chapter 12 is describing lining up in the heavens. And so this is what the Magi saw and was driving them to come and worship this king that was being born. You have to understand that God's hand is all over all of history. And what where we are right now, just like we saw Simeon and Anna, who were expecting the Messiah to come, the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ.
Right.
And so he actually saw the baby Jesus, and then he passed. This moment from the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ, this was a time in history, and there's another time in history that we're looking forward to, that the Bible doesn't give us an exact moment, but it gives us signs to watch for. Jesus is going to return. He's in heaven right now, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is going to return to earth, and he is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. This, we are right on the cusp of this moment. And just like there were Simeon and Anna and these Magi at the moment of his first coming, who were ready, they were reading the scripture, they were looking in the heavens, they were looking for the signs that God had given them for this moment. You and I need to kind of pull our heads back a little bit from what the whole rest of the world is caught up in, the materialism. They're caught up in gifts, and they're caught up in Amazon deliveries, and they're caught up in all the things that are going on this time of year. But we need to take a step back and see what God's word says about the times that we're living in right now and how close the return of the Messiah is.
And we want to be cognizant of this. Old lion, a young lion, you know, we're not here telling you to go and never go to your Christmas party and avoid your grandma for Christmas and tell your whole family how vain they are for buying this week's toy or this year's toy. The Bible gives clear teaching on this, that there's a time for war, there's a time for dance, there's a time for life, and there's a time for death. You should find ways in your regular life to enjoy the blessings that God has provided you this year. But if you are replacing the blessings for the blesser, if you're replacing the creations for the creator, if you're replacing what God has given you to be God itself, the Bible says that your belly is God, that you've exchanged the natural for the unnatural, that you've exchanged God and made God to be a liar. This Christmas season, we want you to go have an enjoyable time. We want you to find a place to have some dinner. We want you to find a place to sing some songs and maybe even give some gifts. But do you have your head in the game? Are you locked in on what's going on in the world? Have you opened up your eyes to see that the movement of God's hand throughout all of history is happening? We can watch the signs not only in the sky, but what the Bible prophesies about to happen, just like the Magi, just like Daniel, just like Balaam, just like Anna, just like Simeon. You want to be on the same note as those guys? I know I do. And I hope that you will. Now, we're not a show that necessarily gets into politics, or we're not a show that talks about sports, or we're not a show that gets into the fashion world, though, you know, Young Lion's a lot more fashionable than Old Lion. We're not a show that gets into these things. What we're a show that likes to do is get into what the Bible says and declare it boldly. We'll hope that you'll continue on this journey with us. We hope that you have a Merry Christmas, and remember that Jesus is the reason for the season.
And we'll see you at church.